This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgareth.
We just listened to our theme song. I'm going to pretend it's like a radio station. We have to actually listen to it beforehand. But I just listened to an episode, the last one that Billy was on. It was almost 2 years ago.
Oh.
And it was really funny. We're really good at this. We were good at it. We're still good at it. We've changed
the car element. Yeah, we've changed as people. We've been through some shit.
We've grown up.
We're out of the car, forced out of the car.
Yeah, we were forced out at
gunpoint. But I remember very clearly driving around in circles in Billy's neighborhood when we recorded that episode, and it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he is a great guest.
Yeah, there are some memorable quotes, and that's why I watched it again or listened to it again. That's why I brought up that you have to see it's on. I know you don't do a lot of Instagramming, but I put it on the Do You Need a Ride Instagram. These girls, their mom had them learn our theme song with their piano teacher, and they perform it.
No!
And it is the best thing ever. Like, I think they took it upon themselves to learn it, but it's the sweetest, and her name
Please,
is Lou.
Just like Chris in the future.
Yeah.
Just before you post something like that, go ahead and send it to me personally on my phone.
Oh, really?
As a sharing technique of a friend.
Oh,
you know,
of course.
The digital friends.
Oh, I gotcha. Oh, I thought you meant to get approval. Yeah, have to see this.
Because I want
to
see it.
I'll see it. Yeah, it'll just be a link.
To get approval. I have some paperwork before you Instagram any
of my
music. You will
love it. It is the best. Yeah, Lou Otagi.
She forced the piano teacher. And the piano teacher's like, hey, lady, this is G&D. There's nothing happening in this song that your daughters are going to benefit from musically.
Yeah, yeah. She said they conned their piano teacher into learning it.
Oh, they wanted to do it. It
Their
wasn't the mother controlling of it.
Maybe it was a gift. I don't know. It made me very happy. And then I listened to the episode. I was reminded of who Billy is. You know, it's been a long time.
It slipped
forgotten.
Need to get Billy centric.
Yeah.
Because it's important.
Well, you know, it's kind of like comedy. You don't start telling your jokes before you get on stage.
You've never been.
I know. Sometimes a show in the green room is better than
most
the one on stage, right, Billy?
Most of the time, I have more fun in the green room than I did.
Way funnier in the green room, for sure.
You're hearing the voice now of our guest today, Billy Wayne Davis. Comedian.
I did. It was hard not to say, like, do you guys just only do this podcast with me? Is that like the...
Basically,
that would be funny. Like, you guys are doing really well financially on it. I'm like, I didn't know that it was just me. I thought I was a guest.
No, you're the guest. You don't get paid. That's yeah. We get paid.
And we have you on once every
It's a good
years.
Con. It yeah. is good.
Yeah. 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 He loves talking. Billy, tell us where you are right now and maybe lightly describe the background that you've used today.
Oh, yes. That's the Zoom. Background is the Redwoods from a quarantine trip I took with my son. I just wanted him to go see them because they're special. And it's, yes, and the drive from LA is pretty amazing. It's pretty much all of California you see. So he's like 10 mm-hmm. or 11. So I was just like, you should see how cool this state is. I know people say it's bad, but it's really kind of cool.
Yeah. I have to be reminded about it all the time. And
especially those, man, you get the Avenue of the Giants and suddenly you're seeing things that you almost can't comprehend.
You can't. I have a friend who's been to the Himalayas. He hasn't like climbed or anything, but he's been to like Nepal and around there. And he said there's a similar feeling there because you can't comprehend. Truly, your brain has a hard time comprehending how big the mountains are. That's what I know. And it was like, I was like, well, now I really want to go there, like really bad. It's just like, yes. It made me mad. It was like, why do you tell me about that? That's a thing I didn't even imagine. But that's, he said he's just different after he left.
Oh, wow. I bet.
But you could also see the movie 2012 starring, I believe, John Cusack. Because in the beginning, when the big tidal wave comes, it comes over. The super tsunami is coming over the Himalayas. That's like one of the, just so you get the sense of how destroyed the earth is. So you could rent that if you needed to.
That's how I do most of my traveling is John Cusack movies. I've never been to Gross Point, Michigan.
Oh, you got to. It's just like the Redwoods.
It is.
Did you drive? There's a Redwood you can drive through, or maybe it burned down.
I think there's a couple. I've never done it.
As a child, we went through it in a Volkswagen bus.
As an adult, I went through it with my ex in a Volkswagen bus and we got stuck.
Really?
Karen always has to one-up my story.
It was my perfect one-up.
That was impressive. That's like,
perfect. It was the perfect think. I just went right above him. But it was because it was a Volkswagen. It was like one of those camper van Volkswagens. So it had extra stuff on the top. And it was super embarrassing. Luckily, I didn't believe it was going to fit through. So I got out and Pete drove through and then was stuck and was having to like gun it and kind of like, and then people were coming out of the gift shop. It was a thing. It was really hilariously embarrassing.
But you also got to say, I told you so, which is like, you got that show and then get to get back in in a relationship. That is a huge, that's like one up in him just then. Like, it's just like a,
It was gigantic win for me.
Yeah, one time I got out of the car, my friend, we put our bikes on his Subaru. We were kids. We were like 19 and drove to like Oregon, and he made me get out and just to see if he could go into this parking garage. And I was like, yeah, you're good. You're good. And it just wedged and bent the handlebars and broke one of the bikes. I'm like, oh, I guess I was right there looking at it happen.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible friend. And a horrible navigator.
I did that once when we were, I'm from Northern California, Billy. You may have driven past my hometown as you went up, because after a while, there's only the kind of the one road to go up there to the Avenue of the Giants. But we used to play against a football team that was out in Tamales, which was almost to the coastline. So it was like a 20-minute drive. And it's all just, you know, just pastures and dairies and ranches and stuff. And it was nighttime and the kid driving, everyone was fucking around. And I don't think we were drinking. We weren't doing anything bad. But this kid was like doing a bunch of like driving on the wrong side of the road and fucking around. And then there was a car. Suddenly there was a car behind us. And he's like, is that a cop? Is that a cop? And I remember somebody telling me when this had happened in town is like, cop lights are rectangular. So I turned around and looked and they were not rectangular headlights. So I turned back. I was like, it's not a cop. it's not. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, it's not a cop. And then he kept doing it and we fucking get pulled over. And it was the Coast Guard police. Like it was, because there was a Coast Guard station near there. So they had a different kind of car.
They have round headlights. Everyone knows that about the Coasties.
Big old.
Are you sure it's not a cop?
And yeah, I was,
it's not. All right.
I'm positive. Yeah. And just immediately a ticket, lights, ticket, completely busted. That was the kind of thing where I'm like, I didn't have a different ride home because I would have absolutely taken one because I was the biggest loser in that car after that. It was a bad feeling.
That is.
Why was he driving on the wrong side of the road? Was he doing like a British accent? Shit.
It was like, yeah, exactly. He was kind of showing off, like he was probably 16. So he's like, I'm the one driving the car full of kids. And then, you know, you're just trying to have fun out in the middle of fields, so you got
to
do what you
there's a lot of back road driving where I'm from, and one of the things people would do is like turn off the lights because you know street lamp, you're just in the middle of nothing out where I grew up, so it would just be anytime somebody do that, I'd be like, I'm just gonna jump out of the car, I hate this.
That's straight out of a
like I don't even trust you driving with the lights on and then you turn them. It's just like, this is
You're 17. You can't be trusted with everything going the way it's supposed to. You're probably going to kill us.
Odds are we're going to die tonight. Yeah.
We're going to die tonight. I used to, when I remember all the boys in my class, when they got their license, the big thing was they would come pick you up to go do something. And then they would drive like 8, because again, I lived so far out that it was just these wide open 2-lane roads that you'd be driving back into town on. So they would come down my road and go like 85 and think that we'd be like, slow down, what are you doing? But I had three older cousins that were like 5, 6, and 7 years older than me. And one of them was a big fan of drugs. So she did shit. I saw stuff when I was like 6 years old I should have never seen or been a part of. So I would just be like, I would just keep talking and not even really notice what they were doing. And they just like, oh, okay. I guess that was their like big move of like, yeah, I'm in charge of this car, where it's like, go ahead.
Doing heroin now. So I'm not that impressed.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
She's
I don't have
not
to go
a
to
fan.
A drug deal with you after this, so it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, this one's tragic, so I'm gonna preface it, but I remember, that kind of dumb road. It's like in Righteous Gemstones, when he said car pranks the first time, I bellied over, because it's such a southern stupid. I was like, that is the way he said it to his wife, and she accepted it like it was a normal thing. I was like, that is just a very I remember these two older kids when I was like in middle school, one of them died. What they would do is when they meet each other on this 2-lane road, they'd switch lanes and drive in the opposite lane and then go right, and just say, hey. And then one day, one of them didn't do it the right way, and they hit each other. And it was just like one of those things where I remember me in middle school, and I'm just not going to play with a car at all. Like, none of that. It was just like, I remember my dad being like, here's what happened. And I'm going to be like, fuck.
Yeah.
Where it's that kind of like, why
you
are
you one of those.
Fairbanks is from Montana. He's like, what is wrong with you guys? And you're like, you ski down a mountain with just plastic on your leg.
Don't judge us.
There's
car
just
pranks,
different
please.
Kinds of lunacy.
None of my friends were like risk takers, but the fact that we were all in shitty used cars that were decades old, driving in the snow, up to ski areas. And for no reason at all, the hood would fly open and bend over the snowboards on the roof rack, and we wouldn't be able to see. Just shitty car things would happen. But we were driving like old people. Like, I've always driven really slowly with my chin on the steering wheel. I've always been scared of death, but still.
My dad gave me my first car.
Shitty car.
It was a Bronco 2. It was a 6-cylinder, but it only had 4 cylinders that really worked. So when it hit 55, nice, it would shake like that right there. So my grandpa was like, hey, we can get that fixed. And my dad was like, no, we're good. And my grandpa, I remember my grandpa goes, oh, you're smarter than you look, son. because I was an idiot. That's really smart.
Yeah, he capped it. He capped it for you.
It was cool looking, but it wouldn't do any damage, and I couldn't get it fast enough to fuck anything up. And then...
Yeah, it was like having a governor.
And I had to put oil in it like once a week, and then it would shoot blue smoke out, which is really fun. It was...
I have never had a car until my last car. I've never had a car where it didn't require me to have sawdust on hand to put over my oil spills. That's just a normal thing. You have a piece of wood in the garage that you saw to make sawdust to sprinkle on the oil puddles.
Fresh sawdust.
Oh, in the morning?
From Montana.
Are you kidding me? That's the best smell ever.
Don't get too close. I also had a Bronco. I love those cars.
You had a Bronco?
I love those cars. Yeah, I had, it was kind of an in-between when I was like in my late 20s, and I bought it from like a friend, so bought it for almost nothing, and I drove around, loved it, thought it was cool, but when I then got a good job and got like an actual new, the first new car I ever bought was like, you know, when I was, whatever, 30 or something, and I realized how loud that fucking Bronco was. Everything in it rattled, like because it was an 87 or something. So there were loose screws in the door panels, and like everything kind of like if you started going on the freeway, it was the loudest ride anywhere you went. But I didn't notice until I was in a new car, and I was like, oh yeah, that's a really good feature. It's just like not a bunch of fucking
noise. Didn't notice that cars do that until my current wife. She has a nice car, and I drove it for a while, but I just didn't need one for a while, and then I rented one on the road. Like, if you're busy, you don't really, you know, unless you're driving a gig, you don't need one. You need one, like, once or twice a week, and I was like, math doesn't add up. But then now I have a nice car. It's going great, but whatever. But I do remember renting, like, a cheap car and almost taking it back to the dealership, because I was like, something's wrong with it. It's so loud in here.
Yeah.
But it was like a Toyota Corolla. You know, it was like an economy car. It was written for like $11 a day. And the guy, and I just looked at it. I was like, oh, it's just loud. I don't know. Like, you were paying extra. They put more stuff in the doors or something. I don't understand. Dude, this is one of those things where, like, how much can that stuff be? They could just put it in there. Just make it quiet. This is mean.
It must be some like extra sucky rubber at the top that pulls the windows in or something. Because when you know, it's like when you don't notice or care, it's no big deal. And the second you fucking know the difference, it's like, I can't be in this car ever again.
There's something, there's a hole in the car is what it's, yes.
It's madness. And then it's driving me insane.
And you know, when there's a hole in the car, you could get sucked out. If you go fast enough.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend who would ash.
Sucked out into the road.
He had a hole in his truck, and he would just ash. He probably still has that truck.
A hole to the ground?
Yeah, you can see the ground.
Yeah.
This is...
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Man, I thought Montana was all rough. What are you...
I mean, I just forgot where I came from.
It's been too long.
Yeah. I'm just living this life of luxury. I've actually been looking at the new Bronco. I might get... My car broke, by the way.
Oh,
it's just,
yeah, get the new Bronco. That thing looks cool.
It is cool looking. I get so excited about it.
My dad's against it. He doesn't like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the new Bronco? He can't really tell me why, because he's adamant about it. He's like, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
Not because like a friend of mine has one, and I went and like I said, I have one. So I was like, I left a party. I was like, can I go look at your car? And he was like, yeah, here's the keys. And no one followed me. It was just me. I was just on the street during a party looking at this guy's car. And they came back and was like, did you just... I was like, I had one when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think dads just want stripped down, simple trucks that rattle. And this new Bronco, a lot of the ruggedness is taken away because there's a backup camera.
And it's like...
And heated seats.
Cubed, kind of, on the inside. Like he said, it feels like your sister's cube car she had, is what... And I was like...
Oh, okay.
You mean roomy? You mean like there's like a lot more room than it looks like there should be?
I might agree with him. I have to see it first. If it looks anything like a Scion or something...
No, inside it feels like that, which is cool because it's like roomy and feels like a box you can kind of move around in.
I like that. I like a box I can move around in.
Then you can put all your smaller boxes inside of it.
Yeah,
and they will fit, right?
I'm always moving in my box delivery business that I've been running.
And they're all and their four-wheel drive thing is called the GOAT or something like that, where it's like, I kind of like that. I don't know why.
Oh, is it called
like
the goat?
A goat? The goat can go anywhere. I was like, oh, God, that's this weird animal.
Yeah.
To be like, yeah, ours is like a goat. You're like, that's not an animal that most people are like. We're like goats.
We perch on the edge of cliffs at Yosemite.
We'll eat a can if we need to. I don't care.
I feel a true Bronco ownership pride, even though it was truly like four cars ago. When I saw the new one, I was like, yes. And then I'm like, yo, you already have a car. Don't worry about it.
I was too. Yes.
Yes. It was like kind of like weirdly like, oh, that's a club I'm actually in. It's really strange. I kind of forgot about the my Bronco phase.
Yeah, the Broncos.
And it also, anytime I see that OJ footage, I'm like, that looks good.
It's a good car.
Especially when the freeway's cleared and it's just that white Bronco. Yeah,
they are beautiful shots.
Yeah. It's a great car.
It does look like a white stallion leading other horses is what it does. If you think about that, is the way they're all in formation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, that, if we that take the context
people are cheering.
Out.
Yes. It's like,
of
yay!
Course. Yeah, is this some vehicular Kentucky Derby?
Here's the, can we just say, I do want to say, I've never said this out loud, but like, I used to be like, I can't believe people are cheering when I would see that footage. But I've lived in LA for like 7 or 8 years now, and I, without a doubt, would be on one of those bridges being like, yeah, go. Like, I now it's like, no, it's just something the city does. It's just like a, you can see, you're like, well, he murdered a lady. You're like, I don't care. It's still kind of fun. You get into it.
It was separate from that. It was a different thing. It was separate. I don't know how it was separate.
Yeah, no one was cheering for the murder. They were cheering because he's running from the cops, and everyone
It's the LAPD.
I think
for
it was
sure.
that everyone but, was just like, get away, get away,
yeah. get away,
get away, get away. And also, I think there is this thing of like, this is the biggest story in the world, and it's happening near me. I'm going to go watch it happen. It's happening near me. Like, I think there's a lot of narcissism in that cheering. That's kind of just like group participation of like, this is my life.
It is the same as the people that like go up behind the TV reporter and it's like, hey, yeah, it is like, but it's a bigger. Yeah, that is very true. We are awful.
Yeah. Cause they're not realizing, oh, you're on the news as the dumbass now. They're just kind of like, what's up? You know, there's no real self-reflection.
Channel 7. That is...
I swear
I'm blowing it. I'm blowing it on Channel 7
right now. I couldn't think of anything to do.
I waved and crossed my eyes. It was embarrassing.
I think that's how... Yeah, well, now you know how a comic feels on morning TV. Just every time they put us on morning TV, you're like, why is... Whose idea was this? This is not going to be... Let's put nightclub comedians on in the morning on TV.
Yeah,
because that's our audience. That's who's coming to hear us, hear our thoughts about our dicks.
Exactly. Morning news. I just did it recently before I went to Portland, and I said so many inappropriate things in a row.
What's not on any of those shows.
Yeah,
we are rewarded for inappropriate behavior, words, stories, and ideas constantly. And then suddenly you put us in the realm where it is not allowed. Then now what are we going to talk about?
Especially after you ask what kind of things will we be hearing at your show tonight? Like, well,
nothing I can say right now.
Jokes?
I cannot.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually,
I can write it on a piece of paper and slip it over to you.
Specifically the news I did. I have to say this because she's a fan of our podcast and she was really sweet and she laughed the whole time.
Really?
At the end of it, I just felt like I had been saying a bunch of inappropriate things. But it was on their website. I watched it. And I think it's just a paranoia. If you're listening right now, thank you for having me on the morning.
The women on those shows always feel like hostages. Like they got into the business to be like, I wanted to be a reporter and now I have to interview this lady about her yarn dog. And then and the men are just like, hey, man, I'm kind of on cocaine, so it doesn't matter. And you're just like, do you need me to rescue you? Because This is not what you wanted.
Do you want free tickets to my show and out of here? Because come with me.
I can't promise you a better life, but it'll be similar. There's free chicken fingers where we're going.
Oh, let me pack my bag.
Yes.
What is a yarn dog?
I just picture. Did y'all picture probably the same lady I did?
Like, yeah. That she used to do macrame owls, and now she does more of a 3D yarn dog.
But she wants kind to go of, on TV imagine, about it too. That she said.
Yeah. She's made a bunch of them, or she's made them, you know, out of. It's like partially yarn, and it's also dryer lint she's been saving for 30 years. Type mm-hmm. of, you know, it's human interest stories. It, what get us through?
It is,
and I'm into it. I'm into it. I love crafting.
There was a guy. It was called the Heartland Series. It's the East Tennessee WBIR TV, Channel 10 News in Knoxville, Tennessee. it was Bill Williams. They made a DVD of all of his stuff. I loved him because, like, he would go and he was like, today we're going to talk to a guy that makes fiddles out of old forks. And he would make it interesting.
So he was like a Huell Hauser.
Oh, yes. No, oh, yes, nope. Yes. Yeah. But this East Tennessee kind of awesome version. But he was so good at like really seeming very interested in, not in like a, but like in a very sincere way where you would be like, yeah, this is cool. This is. And then I met, you know, through just being in quote unquote show business, people that worked with him and stuff over the years. And they're like, oh, he was drunk. He was just like, like not in a bad way. He was just like he liked to drink. So like he was genuinely interested, but mostly because he was pretty hammered. Like he would be like now you do what at the bar, that kind of thing. And I was like, well, it translated beautifully on the camera for whatever reason.
He found the perfect combination.
It made me happy.
I kind of like to talk to people, but I really love to drink, which makes me love to talk to people.
And at the time, I found out I was like a feature act. So I was like, that sounds like my ideal life where you don't really have to travel that far.
It still is. What a great job it would be to have a show like that where you just, like that Dirty Jobs guy, where you just talk to someone. You get lit up, you get drunk, and then you make chairs with them in a factory.
It's like
whatever.
If Dave Attell could so sleep during the night.
Yeah.
And have a normal job during the day.
Yeah, I wish I had a Dave Attell daytime type show.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I've got somebody that gave me a DVD with his autograph, and it is scribble. But I was like, man, I bet he's hammered.
I feel like there's nothing better. I love watching local television when I'm out of town and other places. I love, especially Canada. Canada has the weirdest, best, like the people and the tone and the vibe, is what, like we were at the, what was that festival? It was me, Michelle Buteau, and Rhea Butcher, like hanging out the whole weekend. And it was the Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So fun, kind of small, right? So it was like, as opposed to your usual festival where there's like 50 of your friends, it was like 25 or whatever.
Way more manageable. When there's like 50 of us at this point, I'm like, I'm just going to be in my room. This is too much of us.
It's too crazy. Yes. Yeah. It's too crazy. It's going to get out of control. But at this one, I definitely would go back to my hotel room and be like, let's take a look at what's going on this local TV. Because I would record it on my phone because there was just like, there was a game show where people had to guess what, like fake personalized license plate and figure out what the phrase was. So it literally was a game show of two teams of two going nowadays. Near it out, and they would do it literally for 2 minutes. I was like, who made this show? It was amazing.
It's why there's comedians up there that we'll never hear of because the government gives like the arts so much money so that like especially in Seattle, I met like a lot of Canadian people that would like trickle down illegally and then come back up or whatever. So I learned how that.
Yeah.
And they're like, I can't really be down here because I've done this program where I have to do art and the government gives me money. And it, I was like, oh, that's why you turn on your TV and you're like, how is this a thing? And you're like, because I'm good at paperwork and now I have a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Totally. Yes. It didn't have to go through a series of executives and
no, my sister knows how to fill out grant applications. And now I have a primetime TV show in Canada.
Check it out. It's my talk.
Yes. Though. No, it is.
I love it.
There was. Have you ever seen the Miami local news? It's art.
I've been watching it lately.
It is. I just because I'm like you, like anyway, like I'm gonna turn it on as the Tucson local news. I love all of it because it is all. It's a mix of like the actual stories, and then hey, you know, like three people were murdered near the courthouse today, and then you're like, and strawberries are in season. You're like, yes, they are.
It gives you. Yeah,
the human
ideas.
Experience but, all in one.
But Miami's
hour.
Is you're like, there right now. Like Michael Bay is the producer of the local. It is insane. Like Aaron was like, "Is this a sketch show?" And I was like, "Man, I don't think it is." Aaron's my wife. She travels with me sometimes when I let her.
Oh, you're on the road with your wife right now in Tucson?
Oh, I would never bring her here. No, I don't know why I just reacted like that. I'm just
because of the heat.
It's like there's no reason.
Because of the heat.
It's also like
she can't take that heat.
She's a fancy lady. And I've early on in our relationship, she said she wanted to do the road. And I took her on what I consider the road. And she was like, this is not. And I was like, I didn't think you would like this. And
it's not for, I mean, there's plenty of female stand-up comics who contradict this, but honestly, I did colleges. I've done clubs and colleges all over this country. Yeah. But when I did colleges,
you just
I mean, when
stole
I did
my
clubs,
intro. That's not cool at all.
Sorry. The couple of condos that I was in, I was like, I have to get out of this now. And I was just like a middler that was like opening for when Margaret Cho would go on the road, she'd take me, or there would be comics that would like invite you to open for the, or to middle for them. And it would be like, I'd have 1 week where I'd be like, this is absolute dog shit and I'm never doing it again. Like walking down the side of a freeway to get to the mall that's over there because you don't have a car.
Yeah.
That type of shit. I was just like, it got old so fast. I was just like, I have to get a different job immediately.
I know that you're talking about St. Paul, Minnesota.
Actually, I thought of three. There's a club in a month. Yeah,
actually, do you want to guess? Because, Chris, your guess is St. Paul.
LOL Comedy Club in San Antonio has a tough get to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good example. That's a good example.
It's neither of those two.
The Riverwalk. What's the other mall club? Sacramento.
Oh, I was going to say Sacramento. Club. That one's tough to get to.
It's a fun club, but
it is a weird one to get to.
Yeah, you walk down a hallway past a Claire's Children's Jewelry
and
store.
And a mattress store.
Then
there's
you're at a
mattress store.
Mattress
that one was
store,
always, I was this is where we're at art-wise. This is the most appropriate. This is where we're at. It's like mattress store, comedy club. That's where we're at. Yep.
It's in a strip mall called How About Arden because it's at the it's at the corner of How and Arden. So they had to make a little phrase for it. Sacramento special.
That mall is called How About Arden.
The How About Arden like strip mall or whatever. That's where we used to. That they had the TGI Fridays where we used to get drunk on Fridays when we were in college. We'd be like, we're really doing it, just like the name says.
And
ordering
that's
like
where
crazy
I went on my
21st
birthday was TGI Fridays because they give you like all
got
kinds
to.
Of, and they had me sign my name after every shot. It was fun. That was fun.
Yes.
They also had a Guy Fieri. A fusion of Tex-Mex and sushi called Tex Wasabi was right across the street from that. It's closed.
No
shit. For that reason. Yeah, it was like a sushi roll with nacho cheese on it. Just and of course I ate there because it was walking distance from the punchline there. I just had to. I'm like, I guess I'm going to eat here.
There's a sad depression. Makes a lot of food decisions on the road. We're just like, I don't know. It's like, that'll feel good for 10 minutes.
Sorry, Karen, did you reveal where you were with your sad?
Oh, Houston.
Okay. Oh, of course.
No, I know. Yeah. That's another actually amazing room to perform in. Just a nightmare to get to.
Oh, yeah. The best. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Did they have a condo at that last?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I've never been in a condo situation that wasn't scary. It's like, please put me in a clean hotel
Zany's
room. It can be
in Nashville.
A Holiday Inn.
It's a townhouse, and it's like two stories, and it's like next to people that actually have invested and bought one too, so you can't be like crazy in there. And I think Ronger texted me like a month ago. He's like, you could tell they were like, they're like, just stay in the condo. He was like, you could tell they were doing that part of negotiating where he was like, I don't let me check on this. He was like, hey, what's the condo situation? I was like, I will say this. I've stayed there when I wasn't playing there. And he was like, oh, that says a ton. I was like, yeah, no, it's like a real place. And the Comedy Works has like a real place in Denver. Both of their places. You're like, it's one of those places too. You're like, this feature action stay here. This is nicer than most of them are ever going to live.
It's too nice.
There is, in multiple condos, because it's not as common anymore that you're in a condo and they give you some broken down van to drive to and from the show. But I recognized it as Brendan Walsh's handwriting. There was always, because I guess he's on the road so much, he was leaving mayonnaise jars in the refrigerator door. And on the top, it would say some cum, a lot of cum, no cum. And so someone would buy like gross. And so they'd buy a new mayonnaise jar. And then the next time, I think I was in Tulsa, he just kept writing how much cum was in each. So there's seven of them. Every comic had to buy it. Because comics only know how to make sandwiches, I guess.
Can we just really quickly talk about what
the best part?
Why does Brendan Walsh hate the world so much?
He's from Philadelphia.
It feels like he's
I always forget that part of him where like, yes, there is like a tone where I'm like, man, he is just like mad sometimes. And then I was like, I'm like, oh yeah, he is from Philly. That's just like in them, because you have to have that to survive there.
I'm going there. I just booked something there, and I'm already nervous, because when you're performing for the audiences in Philly, they kind of have interactions with anyone there is great. I've met terrific people, but an audience there is kind of like, make me laugh, asshole. And they have their arms crossed, and it's so intimidating. I don't know why. And I've seen bumper stickers there that say like, Philly is funny. And a lot of the homeless folks in the area, when you're walking to the club, they have jokes. I think there's like a, hey, I'm funny too element.
Oh, for sure.
Philadelphia.
Yes.
So you have to come to their level of appreciation. Like, I'm not just going to take, you can't just read a Heathcliff comic and make me laugh.
Yeah.
You got to really bring it is what they're trying to let you know.
I think it's, hey, you have to have a sense of humor to live in this city, or you will be the meanest person on the planet. So they're all kind of like, hey, we're pretty funny because it sucks here. So,
because we have really no choice.
Like Michelle Balloon's there, and she explains, she's like, a great way to define the city is that people just park wherever they want. And the city tried to police that, and they just kept doing whatever they wanted. So the police don't even, like, they'll just park in the middle of the street in certain places. She was like, that's Philly, where they'll bitch about, like, you just fucking park wherever you want. Police don't care. I'm like, that's because they tried to care, and you guys didn't care.
Like, no one was paying the tickets?
Yeah,
okay.
It just didn't
work. It's like
work.
The Philly version of the illegal fireworks on the 4th of July in L.A. That's my favorite. That's another L.A. thing I love, is, like, just watching... And like, I'll just laugh every time. And Aaron's always like, why do you always laugh? I'm like, because all of this is illegal. That's so
illegal. There's fucking, they have M80s. People are setting off M80s a week before the 4th of July.
It's just,
just boom.
Not only can you hear fireworks within feet of my windows, I've been woken up by the discharged, cylinder of a rocket hitting my roof, like actual firework, like rockets have landed on my roof, probably still smoldering.
Still smoldering. Yeah,
sure. Yes, there was a real good picture of a palm tree on fire from this past 4th of July where people are just like, why are we doing this? Like, just like two palm trees, one's on fire. It's just oh like, my God. 4th of July.
You just described the best like tourist t-shirt that just says Los Angeles and it's a palm tree, a single palm tree on fire. I'm going to draw it.
Yay.
And then we'll find out what I do with the drawing. Print it on a shirt.
33, 33, 33, 33 The idea came out of this podcast episode.
Yeah, yeah, we have to split. Hey, and it'll be big money. If there's one thing I know about my years in the t-shirt business, big money is about to roll in.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah,
right? Someone set off the mortar ones. They're boom. They'll set them off during the day sometimes, and one day this man. Set it off, and it, you know, the whole neighborhood was kind of like, God damn it, because it scares everybody a little bit. And this man, it was like, it literally was like 2 p.m. Everybody was like, I was like, come on, man. I was just like, I'm trying to smoke pot in my little shed. I'm like, come on, man. And I heard this dude just yell out his fucking door, he just yelled, wait till dark, come on. And I was like, that's way to handle that. It's like, you can't even.
There's one rule.
Just wait till dark so we can see it if it's going to scare us. So I was like, that is a good point.
Yeah. The daytime ones, it's what is this about? Because you can't pretend it's about what a firework is only for, which is the visual.
Yeah.
Which is lighting up the dark.
And if it's before 8 p.m., you're not lighting it off because you appreciate nurses.
No,
you're just
don't lie.
Being a dick. I bet. Yeah, I don't understand the fireworks thing. I never did. Like, I drove like an old man when I was a kid. I never wanted to shoot off fireworks.
Oh, I still love that.
I love them so much. They're the greatest.
I go to Crossville, Tennessee every 4th of July. I take my sons. They know how to shoot. Probably earlier than they should, but they understand how to handle fireworks. And
I'm shell shocked from a Second Life or something. That was in Nam. I like sparkles.
Oh man, I'll just sit and hold a bottle rocket. I have like the sixth sense at this point. And like people are like, you need to throw it. I'm like, it's not time. And then I'll just throw it and hit something. People are like, hey, do that. I'm like, that's youth. My youth.
It's part of the charge of being like, we're not supposed to be this close to gunpowder and everything else that's in there. And when I was a kid, we loved it because, of course, being out in the country, we would all go down to the creek, our two families that live next door to each other. So there'd be like 20 people in the creek that only we normally played in. And now there's all these adults holding their like Manhattans and we're just fucking, we can do anything we want because the water's right there. So we all the kids, any age, everybody was lighting them. It's like a Piccolo Pete, like lit in your hand. Yeah. And then you just knew to put it down.
Well,
I was just going to say this past 4th of July, it's calmed down so much. And we were all on vacation together. Like it was a big, big group of people on the beach, and we started lighting off fireworks, and then there were people with us kind of near us that became part of our group because we kind of took over their whole area. There were so many of us that were like, sorry, do you want some beer? We just took over your whole area. And they're like, that's cool. And they
it's cool. They we don't have a choice.
That's cool. We can't fight you.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. But at one point, this guy got so excited because we were giving them beer and like, here, whatever. And so then he ran around and gave everybody what he thought were sparklers, but they turned out to be punks and the things that you light fireworks with.
Yeah.
So we all lit them and stood there because most people were shit-faced and there were people standing there staring at it, staring, waiting for the sparkler to start. And I was like, you guys, these are punks. These are not. He meant well. He meant well. Go, it was oh, he had all the love the in best. His heart.
Hey, here's passing some out. Incense I found at home. Happy, exactly. Happy Independence Day.
Our family's, yours is more nice. There was a family across my grandpa's field, one of the fields, and sometimes, you know, we were friends and they had a pool, so we would go over there. But during the 4th of July, we would be on my grandpa's deck. They would be on their patio across the field, and we would shoot fireworks at each other. We moved all the cows out of that field for that day, for sure. You know, that's not.
It's
and
not,
then
yeah.
That dude bought an old cannon at an antique and then he would stuff it full of stuff and then shoot shit at us. And it was like, I mean, look at it, still, it was like, I remember it was like 2 or 3 years we did it back and forth, and I don't remember what happened. I'm sure something happened where we had to stop, but I was a child, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never asked about it, but it is, I just remember that he would shoot a cannon and everybody would be like, yeah, and I remember being as a kid being like, I don't know if this is a great idea.
Yeah, I almost want to change my stance. I like a projectile. I like a rocket. I like that bottle rockets go in the water and they're somehow waterproof. Like the wick stays lit. Have you it's done that where it's, you can let them go?
Wax. There's a wax on. Huh? Yeah.
But I just don't like loud, sudden firecracker like M80s. I don't get that shit at all. But
and also not on the day, like on 4th of July, you'd expect it or not hate it. But
I
like,
didn't tell you, Karen, that in the golf tournament I did in Montana, the team I was with, they were these barbecue guys and they got incredibly drunk. One of them shot a handgun while we were into the air because I sunk a putt. Another one shot with a bottle rocket. It went off behind my legs. They started driving balls at these geese. That's where I was like, guys, don't hit the geese. There's no reason. They're like, oh yeah, we just eat, animals are for eating. We didn't, okay, we won't kill the geese. But they were, I had so much fun with them. What I just described sounds like a nightmare, like I was being held hostage.
Depends on
I've
how many
never
beers
laughed
had.
So
it
much.
Depends on who shoot the gun and when. Yeah.
And we would have won. We would have won if they were giving out moonshine at each tee box. They got so drunk at the end, they couldn't even stand. Up until then, but we got fifth place. We did okay, but these guys, they were insane, and I haven't been around a bunch of unpredictable, crazy mountain men in a while, and I do have to say the fireworks were a delight. So long story short, I have to change my answer.
Well, it's context, Chris. It's like what you're saying is it's context. So if you're sleeping, fireworks are a no.
I hate it.
If you're drunk golfing...
Yes.
With some mountain men firing.
I would say, I'm going to say this, and I say this to my 12-year-old a lot, who's entering seventh grade, is he, you know, he tries to say stuff and like shock me and do all that. And he knows that I'm a comedian and, you know, and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't get shocked a lot. I'll just be like, yo, you need to watch saying stuff like that, or you need to watch sending memes like that to certain people, because I was like, there's a time and a place for everything. It was like, you know, especially when he just first started cursing in front of me, like in fourth or fifth grade, just to see. And I would just be like, all right, man, watch who you're doing that in front of. Like, I don't care. or when I was like, but you know, also watch when you're using that around me and how you're using that. And then if you do it around your grandma, she's going to hit you. So I'm just going to tell you that. Yeah. And there's no repercussions for her hitting someone. That's just, if she decides to hit someone, it's like God hitting someone. And he was just kind of like, oh, okay.
It's over.
Like, there's no police come or anything like that. It's like, no, if the police come, they're like, well, we'll hold you and let her hit you again. That's how that works. You just see his little brain what? Oh, shit. You're like, yeah, the world's not what you think it is.
Yeah, exactly. There's no, it's not hard and fast rules. That's such a good lesson to teach a kid, which is, you can, like, because I remember when I started, I would always try to make my dad laugh, and I started to realize it was contextual. So if I whispered a certain thing in church, he would start laughing because he couldn't. And, or, you know, whatever. It was always that thing where that realization of like, but if my mom was standing there, he'd go, he would cut off the whole thing where I'd be like, what? We have this great thing going or whatever. And that's how I learned that lesson.
Yeah,
but it wasn't explicit.
Dads give you early lessons in how audiences are different.
Yes.
And
yes.
You gotta learn how to read the room. Read the room.
Yes. And then there's a lot of like, because like, especially like, no offense, but women, sometimes they'll laugh at stuff and then the next day they will not laugh at that. And I think that's a hard thing for children to understand. They're like, what happened? They're like, lot happened between yesterday and today that you're not aware of.
Yeah,
it's not your fault.
And I'm not going
to
retreat explain
right
it to
now
you.
Is what you need to do.
This is one of those context lessons that you're really going to need to absorb.
It's
going to
be a seventh sense that you develop or you don't develop.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I'm that way too, because 90% of the time I do not want a bottle rocket shot at my leg and for it to go off behind my knee. But on this day, it made me giggle and high five. I hugged these guys three different times. I had the best time. A gun, also, a handgun. If someone, they shot a gun in the air.
That, I don't. That, okay. I don't like that. Not on the golf course, I'd be like, hey, motherfucker, no.
I was just like, oh, you guys are so crazy that I'm scared. You know, when you're nervous laughing or you think you're going to die, so you start laughing. Karen, you laugh when you're about to
That's
die.
That's all I do.
Yeah. Right. This was a I think I'm going to die laugh, like a defense mechanism prison.
Well, then you get worried. You're like, oh, do you know the sheriff or some shit, man? Like, I don't. Why? How do you? Why are you so cool?
Oh, yeah.
You
get away with it.
Yeah.
But don't you think my judgment about the guy that had the handgun, because of the combination of things, that's a guy who doesn't normally deal with guns at all, who's having his own kind of weekend. Don't you think a guy that's like, because usually the kind of people who bring handguns with them everywhere are all about, like, it's all about how you do it and what you do and what's allowed.
Oh, no, there are two types of dudes
regulation.
Like that. There is that guy.
Okay.
And then, there is the guy that has a gun with him at all times and you never know it. And you're like, how did you get a gun in here?
Yeah.
And he is very good with the gun, but in a sloppy way that everyone else is like, I don't like it when he has the gun. But he is the guy that after some moonshine is like, hey, check this out. Bam, 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 yeah. And then puts it back in. You're like, you've had a gun? He's like, I've had a gun on me since I was 11 years old, man.
I was warned the day before that the guys I was golfing with in this tournament would shoot a gun. I was told they would. I think that they, with them, it was, hey, this guy's coming from Los Angeles. He's a comedian. Let's show him a fun time, I guess, or scare him. But I just jumped right on board because there are parts of me that are that way. But all the other celebrities, all the other people in this golf tournament were NFL old football players.
They're used to guns. That's a different lifestyle. Yeah. Those dudes are nuts.
I was the only beta male in this whole tournament, I think. Like, I was the only not tough ex-NFL football player. It was all football players and three comedians. And I had so much fun. And I had to do stand-up for them all. It was the best. All
drunk?
Of it sounds scary.
Before
but it was
or after? You're just giving us pieces of this.
Before, awesome. Before.
Stand-up before and then a round of golf?
The next day, yeah.
Oh, that's even better, because then they're like, hey, funny man, and they're shooting at they're having fun.
Yeah.
They're
exactly.
Like, he's a pussy.
Watch
this. He talks all big. Watch this. Shoot shit at. That is great.
Yes.
That is.
That's a good
point. I had the opposite where when I went from a cannabis podcast I have called Grown Local. Did you see that drop? Thank
nice
you.
Getting,
you
know, real smooth.
Almost 20 years in, I'm getting all right at it. I still feel a little sick when I do it. Thanks, Mom. we went to the Humboldt County, and like at first we didn't really know, and then they kind of really let us in. But it was like they kept trying to like, I guess because they thought I was from L.A., and my partner's like my co-host is a grower in Eugene, so they had no problem with him, but they were just like kind of weird, like, I don't know if y'all have trucks and stuff to get up here and all that, and then like we just like drove up through their gates and stuff, and they're like, oh, you guys are, and I was like, this isn't that bad, you guys. This is like really nice.
This isn't Murder Mountain.
Yes, it was like, this is, and they're like, oh, you're not like from L.A., and I was like, oh, no, and I don't fit in right now either down there, so it's like, and they're like, that's when they really opened up, when they're like, oh, you're like a hillbilly. Right. I'm like, kind of, yes.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Yeah, that's not offensive.
Yeah. You could.
That's what happened with my golf team. Yeah, they found out I was from the next town over, and they're like, oh, well, none of this is going to scare you. I'm like, do it anyway. Yay. Guns.
Yes.
Do it all. Do it all
at
once.
Well, then they show you more. Then we can pull out this stuff. And you're like, hey, that is methamphetamine.
I have a taser. Why? Yes. That's weird. It's not
yard
fun
sale.
At all.
I looked at your website because I was just led there today. It was, but you're doing like a weed church in Denver?
Oh, mine. I forget I had site. I was like, why are you talking? I was like, why are you talking to Karen about this?
Oh, finally, we can talk about my website.
Like, Yeah, I'm doing a special in 2 weeks. It's at the International Church of Cannabis.
There we go. International Church of Cannabis. There's a problem. I'm doing a show that night in Denver also.
I'm doing
but
two.
If you're so listening
you
right
yours,
now,
come on over.
You gotta go see Billy instead of me. Don't go to my show. His is an important album tape.
Wait, yeah, it's a special.
Yeah,
TV?
There's two shows, so you can go to Chris's and mine. See? So I have a 6:30 and a 9:30 set.
Heads up, Denver.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll see you there. Is my point.
Yeah, come hang. I can't.
Yeah, I'll shoot a gun off during your show.
I would. That would be fucking great because we're doing two sets. So like, you know,
congratulations.
It should be cool. I've got a really talented director who's done a bunch of he got to start editing. He did American Movie and a couple other things.
Oh,
where
wow.
Yeah, where I was like, holy shit! And then he saw a set I did. And was like, hey, would you ever want to work with me? And I was like, yeah, man, you're really talented. We don't get approached by those people a lot.
Was an American Movie about the guys that made that horror film what was it called? Coven?
Yeah, it was about Coven. The guys from Minnesota or Wisconsin. Chris Smith was the director.
Yeah, that's a hilarious movie. This guy made that.
He was awesome. The editor. Him and Chris Smith put it together.
Okay. Cool.
And then, yeah, now he's a director and he was like, I was like, well, I have this weird idea for to do the special in this spot. And he was like, yeah. His eyes lit up. And I was like, listen, there's no money involved in stand-up. Because he, like, directs commercials and shit. So he's got, like, money. And he was like, oh, this is cool. I want to, you know, whatever they want to, we'll work it out. I just want to do something cool. And I was like, I'm going to take advantage of this then. Because this is like, you're like a genius. And I don't think you know what you're doing.
What's the spot? What's special about the International Church?
It's a church.
Marijuana?
Yeah, it's cannabis. I think it's
cannabis.
Cannabis. Yeah, they're using cannabis because of the stigma of pot and marijuana. It is. It just looks like a normal church on the outside, and then you go on the inside, and they hired this, I think, Spanish artist. I think he's from Spain. To do the inside, and it is...
Oh, like Gaudi? Like Goya Gaudi? Which guy is
I forget
it?
His name. If as soon as I said his name, people would be like, you don't deserve to be around him. The way you mispronounce that.
Well, yeah, in Spain, all the cathedrals, or when I went to Playa Mallorca, it was all, I think, Gaudi.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know. It's this is a...
But someone that does that
he's
style.
Like a contemporary artist, like he's a modern artist.
Sure.
He's like, he just awesome. I follow him on Instagram. He just did like the lighthouse somewhere in Europe, and
that's amazing.
I did a set there 5 years ago on like 420, you know, one of those, you know, they were doing the thing, and I just remember walking in and being like, oh man, I could do something fun in here visually.
Yeah.
And then fast forward 6 years, you know, that's how.
And it's only called a church because it used to be a church, or is it a religion based
on
cannabis?
It is think they have filed the correct paperwork, and they're referred to themselves as the Elevationist, so it is a practicing church that you can
Wow, go. So you're doing like a cult comedy.
I don't want a cult. All I want are, I just want people to pay me money to talk about traumatic events that happened to me.
Well, Denver is the only place or the first place where I openly saw people ripping off full size bongs in the audience. Like,
Jesus.
Yeah, like just bong rips. I'm like, oh, so you laugh. All it means is they laugh at jokes a second or two late.
Man, I did a show and it's not at a legal place. It's not open anymore. And I knew it wasn't because the guy who owned it had a bunch of neck tattoos. And he said he figured out a loophole in the law. And I was like, your neck tattoos let me know you didn't. Just lets me know that you're courageous more than anything.
It was an art grant from Canada.
Yeah.
But it was a dab thing in Colorado. And what would happen was, it would be that thing where they were hitting the dab, so you do the joke. It would take an extra beat for them to laugh. Then, because they're all so used to, they're like dabaholics, then after they laugh, they would have to cough after that. So there would be another beat or two after the laugh where I was like, no, okay, this is a different type of shit. And the whole time I'm figuring out, like, where do I go when the cops just come in? Because they paid me in a stack of cash before the show. Oh, and I was like, yeah, this really took away all motivation I had here. But I had it in my pocket, and I was just going to sneak out the back door. But they paid me a lot of fives.
That's amazing.
It was you know, over $1,000-something for what I did was way, you know, I'm sure as part of something illegal, that's but it was like great. All in fives where like, you guys, this is.
This club in Corpus Christi. Yeah, I mentioned this before, but at the end of my show, they said, we don't have enough money right now, but we will give you this gun and you can sell it. And it was like a chrome shiny gun in a felt lined fancy wooden case. And I was like, I don't want to have that, though, because I feel like that's illegal. In retrospect, I'm like, yeah, take the gun and sell it at a pawn shop. I probably
just keep the gun.
It's probably worth.
Why don't they go fucking sell the gun? Suddenly you're looped into some weird
investigation. I know. I don't want.
Well, usually they do stuff like that because they can't move it. It's like when they used to try to pay dudes in cocaine.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, go sell the cocaine. And you're like, it's because you would have sold it if you could sell it. That's how you work, man.
I'm not kidding. The green room there was they had a Scarface framed poster, and on the TV was the movie Scarface playing. And then in the end, of course, they tried to pay me with a gun. I think it was a last minute fix, Karen. I think they're like, oh, we just realized so-and-so took our money. Instead of killing him with this gun, let's give the gun to the comedian and then we'll just beat him up with our hands later.
Yeah, really, like, we'll implicate him in some crime.
Yeah.
Everything about that is just like,
I know.
How about you sell the gun and you come back with all the cash?
You would be proud to know how quickly I turned the gun down. I was like, oh, no. I'd rather just not get
there
paid.
There was a guy.
Or you can pay me.
There was
later.
A guy, and I'm not going to say, well, he's not there anymore, but he would pay you your check, and then he was a legal gun salesman. Like, he had his. And then he
where is
in
this?
Kansas. If you can guess which city.
The city in Kansas?
It's in the middle.
Okay.
Does it have the word Kansas in the name? okay.
It's the literal middle of America. The literal mid-continent. It's the Wichita. Center. It's just Wichita. I'll just say
it's the weirdest
town in America. But the guy, he would pay you. He's so fun, like a true character, like one of those dudes. You're like, man, you're awful, but I've never met anyone like you, and I can't. And he, every single time he would talk up some gun he had in stock the whole week. And I like talking about guns, you know, I'm like, they're neat, whatever. And then sure enough, every time he'd hand me my check and then he'd pull out the gun and be like, this is, you know, you give me $500 out of back, I'll give you this gun kind of thing. I'm like, I can't.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
But I think because I talked about guns with him, most people didn't. He thought, I'm going to sell this sumbitch a gun. I'll get his money right back. Yeah. And I was like, I can't go back to Seattle with a fucking rifle. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. On an airplane, yeah.
With a rifle. It's such a fascinating, like, subculture in the stand-up comedy world of, like, the gun trade.
Yeah.
Gun show loophole.
I don't know if they were trying to sell it, but one time I went bungee jumping in Truckee, and at the end, which is already illegal, they had scopes to see if a train was coming, and we had to gather all the bungee, whatever. We did our jumps, and at the end, they're like, anyone want to shoot an Uzi? They had a Uzi, like from a movie, and they were shooting it against a stone wall, which just made me think it was going to ricochet, like in Legends of the Fall, and hit one of us. But I'm like, why? Yeah, what a weird ending to a bungee jumping experience. There was families
it
there.
That's an adrenaline cherry. If you're illegally bungee jumping, you're like, you know what? We'll top this day off shooting an Uzi.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
When you put it together, you're like, that Rambo does kind of make sense.
Yeah. I think I was the only one triggered by it. And I did not mean to make that. Pun.
If you signed up for bungee jumping at a thing called bachelor party events, then it makes perfect sense.
No, it was called like, They were called As Seen on MTV. I think that was their title. There we go.
Different ways to kill yourself.
Yeah.
.gov. Sign up. Are you guys excited about the new Jackass movie that's coming out?
I totally am. And I know you are, Karen.
I just, something about that trailer got me good.
I think because there was a time where I did cry.
Of course, I love Jackass, but then Wild Boys was the show. It was Chris Pontius and Steve-O, and it was just another version of it. But like they went all over the world, and I used to my TV only got that channel. It was one of those hard times stories where I was like studio apartment smelled like a kitty litter box. I didn't, you know, like it was that kind of thing where you'd look for little pieces of pot on the carpet near where you smoke
pot. Ups and downs in this business. We're in the downs right now. Right? We're going to go back up.
This was a serious down, and that show would come on and I would cry laughing. Like there was an episode where they made Steve-O bungee jump off some train trestle and he was crying. He was like, I can't do it. And they made him do it anyway. So you go through it like with him. Like I didn't know I cared about those guys.
Yeah.
And then basically, then I watch that show and I'm like, I'm in love with Chris Pontius. I think Steve-O is one of the most talented people on the planet. Yeah. Like I got so into that and then it was just kind of over. And so watching that trailer, I was like, well, first of all, that was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nuts and horrifying. And like, I don't feel different and I'm sure they don't feel different. And now they're getting like completely plowed by a fucking like bull with horns
and they all have 50. Silver hair. Speaking of mall, the mall comedy club in San Antonio, that's where I watched. There was a movie theater across from the comedy club. That's where I watched the first Jackass. So that was, I had to be 20 years ago.
That was
oh my so god.
There's the WTF with Johnny Knoxville. I remember when I moved Aaron's stuff and my stuff, you know, there's a couple records and shirts that I had at that point. And me and my dad were driving the U-Haul to LA and I played that because he's from South Knoxville. It's like even like a poorer part of Knoxville. So like I've always related to that dude on this weird home level. And he's telling stories on WTF, like someone that I grew up, like the way he's talking about his family. Yeah. There's one about them dressing as a gorilla or something. And that, and I just implore you, look it up. It's a WTF. It's one of the funniest things I've, like, I had to pull over the U-Haul on the interstate because my dad and I were like cry laughing so hard. Because it was like people we grew up with kind of thing. And it's just like they worked at a tire shop with like a guy that couldn't read, but he was like one of the smartest dudes. I was like, yeah, I know two dudes like that that could not read, but they could fix anything, any engine. That's magic. Read this book and they punch you in the face.
Books are made to make guys like me feel dumb.
Bam, you're like,
That is what it is, though. Those guys feel like it's the guys you went to high school with worldwide. Like every person feels like that about that group of dudes. They're not aggro, but they're doing fucked up shit. They're not, you know, they're not the guys that are going to pull the guns out. They're, you know, they're the guys that are going to do the thing that makes the guy that pulled the gun out drop the gun and start crying. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's, they're not. Like
who climbed that tree and put the rope up in the top of that tree? Like those dudes. And you're like, oh, those dudes.
Those dudes. Today.
Yeah.
Serious. They're the serious ones. You guys are tourists in the danger game. Yeah. These guys go there every day.
They climb to the top of the bridge to make sure it's secure. And you're like, what? Yeah. I was around Pontius one time. It was with that old XM studio in LA.
Am I pronouncing my boyfriend's last name wrong?
I think Pontius.
Pontius. How embarrassing.
It's
okay.
It's something y'all can talk about.
Steven, let's take that again.
Like, it was very briefly, you know, how like you're leaving the studio and someone else is coming in kind of to record stuff. It was one of those XM things. And it was like 3 or 4 minutes. And at first, I didn't know who he was. I was just like, man, that guy seems like fun. He's got like a fun vibe. And then I was like, oh, shit, that's the dude. And he was just like, he wasn't trying to impress him. He was just hanging. And I had already, and then I was like, oh, man. So after that, I'd already dug him. because of the way he went about the Jackass stuff. But after, I mean, I got chills. He's one of those, the few people you're just like, he's better than you think he's going to be. It's like even,
yeah,
just like,
yay,
big old heart, kind of like that kind of warm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Yay.
I'm sure he's got, you know, demons or whatever. Jumps off stuff.
Yeah, I'd see him at, him at the gymnasium all the time, and I experienced him to be sweet also.
Like, genuinely.
Yay, Chris Pontius. Yeah. Yeah.
Yay, I picked a good one.
Yeah,
I picked
you the best did, one. You did.
And he also looks exactly the same in that trailer. I was like, oh my God, like everyone else aged and he's just laughing with that same big face. Love that guy.
Yeah, I'm excited for that movie.
I know we have to wrap in, and it's because of my Zoom, but I do want to say, Billy, you have some of my favorite merch of all time.
Thank you.
The t-shirts you make, I thought that's what you were going to talk about on your website. The t-shirts.
I'm not good at business.
But you are good at making merch, and like just go look at Billy Wayne Davis's, I guess, is it BillyWayneDavis.com?
No, that's someone grabbed it and sat on it, and it's really expensive, and I'm just going to let you have it.
That's lame.
It's BWDTour.com.
BWDTour.com. And then is the merch on there too?
Yeah.
Shop around.
So when this episode airs is when you'll, that's the week in Denver you're recording your special.
August 28th. Yes. Yes. August 28th.
Awesome. Great. So perfect. Go to his website, buy some shirts, go watch him do comedy.
I love you guys.
Thank you, Billy Wayne Dame. Yeah, we love you
too. We love you, Billy. Anytime. Thank you so much for being here.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR.
I thought
it's like live. It's live.
Literally.
We 10, ended it.
9, 8.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine? Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.